let's get into it. This is For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I have just kicked up this podcast back up again. This is my second episode. I'm calling this season two. So the first season, I went pretty strong for about 4 months there. This was a couple of years ago and, now we're back at it. So, season two, episode two, this is with my good friend, Caitlin Edwards from Chicago. Caitlin is a singer songwriter. She plays in a band called Bumsy and the Moochers. They're kind of like a ska punk band, super, super good band. If you ever get a chance to see them live, they are, a sight to behold for sure. So, and then Caitlin also has her solo project that's just called Caitlin Edwards. It's like a three-piece power pop, pop punk band. We talk about the sound of her music in this episode. So definitely make sure to give her a listen, give both those projects a listen. I wanted to give a couple shout-outs here. First of all, shout-out to Sell the Heart Records. We do give Andy a shout-out here at the end. Bumsy and the Moochers are signed to that label. They put out a record with them a couple of years ago. And then also Will Romeo, who was my previous guest, was Nexgars, is also has put out a record with them. So big shout out to Sell the Heart Records. And shout out to Reverend Guitars. Caitlin and I both play Reverend Guitars. I just recently got into their artist program and got an endorsement with them. So I am absolutely loving my Charger HB. It's a freaking awesome guitar. I love playing it. And, I love playing any guitar, really. But this guitar is just as I look forward to picking it up and playing it. So shout out Reverend Guitars. So if you do want to support this podcast, my band has a record out. We have merch. If there's any way that you want to support this podcast, please pick up some merch. You can go to our web store. It's weshoffmanandfriends.bigcartel.com. Pick up a record, please. How It Should Be on Jumpstart Records. We are getting close to selling out the first pressing. So if you haven't picked up a record of ours yet, please do. I'll put the address in the liner notes. So weshoffmanandfriends.bigcartel.com. That's the best way that you can support monetarily if you want to. If you don't want to pick up a record, just give us a follow on Spotify and a rating. That helps just kind of boost our numbers a little bit and get the word out a little bit more. So thank you all so much for listening and tuning in once again. Enjoy this episode with Caitlin Edwards. All right, I am here. This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. I'm here with my friend, singer, songwriter, guitarist, extraordinaire, Caitlin Edwards. How are you?
Good. I am very good. Awesome. Feeling good to be here, Wes. I'm excited because I know I've been wanting to, because I saw the you started this podcast. I'm like, I want to jump on this for sure. So I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I stopped doing it for a while because life kind of got in the way. And then I was like, I really enjoyed doing this. And even just in the last year and a half that I stopped doing it, I've met so many amazing people. And then people like yourself that I haven't talked to yet. So I'm like, let's start it back up, baby.
Yes. It's awesome. I'm glad.
Yeah. So, okay. So you and I met a couple, I guess it's been a little over three or so years ago that you were organizing Punk the Burbs Festival. Is that still going on, or are you guys taking a break or what?
Yeah, it's wild. People still ask about it, and it makes me feel good because I'm like, wow, it really did leave a lasting impact, because we only did it for 5 years, and I always kind of wondered I know a lot of people enjoyed it, but I know, it had a short time, only those 5 years. And as of now, I know, Jason and I have talked, the whole reason we stopped it kind of too was because it was just becoming so stressful. Yeah. And Jason and I, we're musicians before business people, and it's like that music business side, I've learned, I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's for me, because it's just a lot. Like, we even made it an LLC and everything, and it was just becoming like really stressful, and just kind of like it was a lot to do on our own. Because we, I know there was one year we did volunteers, but it was like, man, no, next time we do this, we want to pay people, because it's just a lot of work. And you know, it gets pricey too. We want to be able to like pay all the vans without, you know, that the contract. I know there were things about like just people, you know, it's like, oh, either free beer or sell tickets, and it's like it's just hard, like you know, having enough money to like pay all the bands and the headliners. It's like it's easier when you're like bigger, like Riot Fest or Fest, and you have like all this huge sponsorial support. Like we had some sponsors, but it's like they couldn't give too much. They were very local and stuff, and it was like, dang, like if we really want to do this, like really, like just pay the bands, all the bands, and you know, get some more headliners and stuff, we'd have to have a lot more money, and we'd have to have a lot more like employees, like actual employees, because it just takes so much work and stuff. And just we wanted to more so focus on our bands. I know especially Jason wanted to focus on his family more too. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's put a pause on it. You know, we don't want to say it's like, oh my God, it's dead and gone forever. But I mean, yeah, no plans like as of recently if it's coming back up, but maybe sometime in the future when we're a little bit more free during a year. Yeah, we'd love to, and we would want to do definitely like getting more like bigger sponsors and like hire people to help us, because yeah, it's just so much.
It,
You
I
probably
mean,
know. You're fast.
I just did a little fest and it was very small. It was just like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. We didn't do all day. And it was I did most of it myself, and we did have like a local beer sponsor here that helped with and at first I was even just like with the bands, I was like, listen, I can give you guys $50, depending on and that would just be like out of my pocket, I want to give everybody something. And then tickets started moving pretty well, and it ended up being like I felt like it was really successful for what it was. It like two of the nights, actually all three of the nights ended up selling out. Like we really only had like 100 tickets to sell though. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really
But
like,
still,
it
that's
wasn't
awesome.
super crazy. Yeah. But it is a lot of work. And I think after, I was there every night, and it was almost like as much or more work than playing a show every night. I got
Yes.
the day after on Monday when I was at work, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I just did like a
You do.
weekender.
I'll never forget. Like, I'd have to take off the weekend of Punk the Burbs Fest. I'd have to take off not just those d days, but like I'd have to take off the day after to recover, because like physically I was drained. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
And like your social battery, you're seeing all these people, you're just like,
Yep.
you're like, I'm done. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like, I need to just like lay in my bed for half a day.
Because people are constantly coming up to you. Like, it's so fun. Like, that's the thing people don't tell you. It's fun. It's awesome when you can make something super successful. It's a fun time. Yes, but there, I'm not gonna lie. Like, there were times where it was just like, man, this is like getting a little bit more draining than like fun. And it's because people are constantly coming up to you, constantly. Where do I do this? Where this? Or, oh, something just happened. Or I remember one year at Pu the Burbs Fest, a freaking fire alarm went off. Like, because one of the bands accidentally hit their case by the fire. The fire alarm was in a dumb part of the stage anyway, but a fire alarm went off. You know, and a fire truck had to come, and we couldn't start till they turned it off. I mean, there's just so many things that could happen, and it's just a lot, and I'd just rather be a performer.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. I also started doing like booking on the side. You know what I mean? I was like starting to kind of book little tours for bands, and I've always kind of done that in St. Louis just to help out people like yourself. I know I've tried a couple times and it just hasn't worked out, but to
We'll get
help,
there.
we will. I started like booking tours for bands like in other cities and stuff, and I was just like, man, this is like I would rather put my energy in. I love helping people, and like we were charging a reasonable rate for those, but like at the end of the day, it was kind of like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. You know what I mean? Like I would much rather put this energy into something like this where I just enjoy doing it. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Let's talk about, I want to talk a little bit about your music, your musical projects. So I know, so we got to play with you guys at Burlington last time. I think it was, yeah, that was the last time we were in Chicago. Bumsy and the Moochers.
The Bumsy and the Moochers, yeah. Show, yeah.
Yeah, your ska punk band. So you were just saying that you guys are doing a weekender coming up here. Is it this weekend?
Yes.
Awesome,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's just short. It's just like 2 days. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be in Milwaukee. We're playing at the Sabbatic on Friday with local legends, Something to Do.
Yes, I've heard of them.
And I'm missing, I think I might be missing another band. But I think it's, yeah, Something to Do, local legends. No, yeah, it's just us three. It's funny. Both nights are like three band bills. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's so fun. And then it's like, oh yay, we can all have like longer sets and stuff. And we're all friends. So it's super fun. And then we're playing another show, in Minneapolis at the Pillar Forum with more friends. The Von Tramps and Runaway Ricochet.
Oh, Von Tramps. Okay. Yeah. I know.
They're oh my God. It's just so cool. It's like a weekend of like just bands where we're all friends. We all know each other. And it's like, we all, you know, it's only three bands. So we're all like, oh, we'll get to play like 40 minute sets and stuff like that, you know? And Bumsy has like so many songs. We can just, we've been a band for so long. It's like, we love those long sets. We're like, yeah. And, we got, you know, throwing a cover and stuff, but, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's, you know, and it's just a 2 day thing. Sometimes we'll do like 3 day, 4 day things, but it's just been hard because Bumsy, our bass player just had a kid. And so of course now the band is like, sometimes we slow down with shows because like there's people in the band that have like kids and stuff. So it's like, man, I wish I could make it longer, but, you know, it's like, yeah, what are you going to do? People have kids and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It makes total sense. Yeah. I was going to say you have, and I think I told you this, you have a great stage presence. I haven't seen your solo project yet, and I know you play guitar most of the time in that, and that's kind of harder to like, it just presents a different challenge when you have a guitar to get people engaged.
Yes.
But can you talk a little bit about how did you, you know, with Bumsy, you're not always playing guitar 100% of the time. And, you know, at Burlington, they have kind of like those, I don't know if they're speakers or not, but you can kind of get out onto these boxes, yeah, and get into the crowd. And you were like, you guys played first and you were like, I was watching. And the next thing I knew, you were up there just like getting people into it. And there was a decent amount of people there that came like just to see you guys too. So can you talk a little bit about just how you kind of, was that, and my band, just for a little bit of reference, like sometimes we play as a five piece and I don't play guitar and I just kind of like grab the mic. And so I really enjoy that, especially when we play here in St. Louis, because people know the words and, you know, people really get into it. But it was kind of hard for me at first, being a guitar player my whole life, to kind of not have it. Can you talk a little bit about how did that, how did you kind of refine that, or was it hard at first and did you have to, you know, it takes a little bit of courage, right?
A little bit, I think, but like you said, it helps when the guitar is removed. Like, and you know what, for the longest time, it's funny, like when Bumsy started, I remember there was only maybe like one song where I took the guitar away and just sang it. And I loved it because it was so freeing. You have so much more room to move, to be wild, to, you know, get into the music, engage the crowd. But I was like, I just love playing guitar. And like the guys would try and put like, let's have more songs with you on the vocals. I'm like, you know, I was kind of, you know, because I was just, I like my guitar. I feel like it gives me so much power and it feels good. And, you know, it's always good to, that representation is always good too. I was talking with the lead singer, Bite Me Bambi, about this. I was like, dude, like, I love how you still play guitar, because, you know, there's a lot of bands where, you know, the female vocalist, you know, she's just the vocalist. And I remember she told me, she's like, no, it's good we still play guitar, because she's like, somebody told me, like, it's good to have that representation, like, to show, like, yes, you can be the sexy badass vocalist, the wild vocalist, but, you know, play guitar. You could still be the sexy badass guitarist too and sing vocals too, you know, show that you can also, you know, play the instrument as well and stuff like that. Like I liked that. And so I was like that, like for a while, but then we started writing more songs where, you know, it didn't need two guitars. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let me be on the vocals more. And I started to get more comfortable with it the more I did it at shows and the more like I started to realize, and the guys did too, I would sing better. I would sing with more confidence. Like I would sing louder. I even noticed it too. I think also too, I probably would sing better sometimes. I noticed when it was just me singing on vocals, because I only had that to focus on.
Yeah, and you're not looking down at the guitar, you know, to like.
You don't have to worry about, oh, you know, this and that. Because, yeah, you're just free. And it's like, I'm an energetic personality, too. I'm somebody, you know, as I'm talking with my hands here, hello. But, like, I'm somebody just, I love to just get wild and crazy. And especially, like, when I'm on stage, I feel like I can be whoever I want to be. And, like, when I can just have the mic, like, I feel like I can get into that personality more, that just like the person who I am, the wild, crazy, fun person. Like and it's just become more freeing. And it's funny, this set, I feel like more and more, there's a lot more songs where I'm like singing vocals. It's like a good, even like songs I'm singing vocals on and then just vocals. And then songs that I'm doing guitar and vocals. It's nice and even. And I like that now. I'm like, yeah. It's just easier to engage the crowd too.
100%,
like,
yeah.
Because that's the thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with like being on stage and like standing there, but it's like, it's so like when you're moving, when you're jumping on the bar, when you're getting in the crowd, when you're, you know, getting in people's face and stuff, they're like, people pay attention more, I feel.
They
like
do.
People are like, whoa, like, whoa, it's not just I'm watching people stand there, you know, it's like there's energy. These people are alive.
100%. 100%. And that's what, and just to reiterate, you have a great stage presence. And I think that's something that with my band too, we've talked about it. Like I've seen bands before where I'm like, this is a really good band, but man, they are not fun to watch. They just stand there and like, they're great musicians and their songs are good, but like I need to know that you're feeling what you're singing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. Like a lot of our songs like are really written from, you know, I'm a really positive person, but some of my songs are written like with a lot of emotion about heartbreak,
yep.
Or, you know, I'm like a little bit, it's cathartic. It's getting it out. You know what I mean? And
yes.
For me, it's like, I've never been that way ever since I was like 16, just to being in bands. I'm like, I have to jump around. I have to kick. I like, you know.
I have to make weird faces.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I almost feel like I'm acting it out. You know what I mean? Like, we've had people tell us like, hey man, you guys just have great energy. And we're like, well, we can't, that's just what feels natural for us, you know? So mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about, so like Bumsy and the Moochers and then your solo stuff are completely different, like different styles of music, but also I really like some of the content, like your songwriting content. Like it was whenever you released that song, No Kids.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is kind of a cool, like, you know, I could relate to that because I'm 42. I don't have any kids. And like, you know, people kind of sometimes question that. And I'm like, I've never really heard a song of anybody talk about things like that before. And I don't know if that's maybe, and I'll let you speak to this. I don't know if that's like just more of a woman's perspective, but I like that that perspective being shared out in the world. So, can you tell me a little bit about like, what's your approach with like writing songs for Bumsy? And then, you know, kind of what's your approach for writing stuff for just Caitlin Edwards? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. It's funny because it's kind of similar, because when I write songs, like I can only speak honestly. I write about like a lot of stuff is like personal stuff, stuff I see going on in the world and how I feel about it. I wish I can, you know, write more music that like is like about like a story of something, because I don't know. I'm just so used to writing stuff from like my perspective and being honest and what's on my mind at the time or something I feel strongly about. Like, especially with no kids, it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, men and women, you know, I've noticed that choose not to have children are experiencing, even in 2025, like, you know, the raised eyebrow of like, oh, you're not like having kids, you know, still like we're still, or, you know, oh, you know, who's going to take care of you when you're older? I'm like, God, hey, I've worked in nursing homes and like, just because you have kids, like, don't mean like they're going to take care of you.
So, yeah. Like, yeah.
Let me tell you, you know, and it's speaking honestly about it. Cause you know, it's a beautiful thing. Like if you want to have kids and a family and you really want to be a parent, that's beautiful. Like, sure, no, like, sure. Go for it. But yeah, it's, you know, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of songs that speak on it. And I try to write songs to, you know, I got a lot of the songs, the typical, you know, songs about heartbreak, songs about love, songs about politics and what's going on in the world. But I also try to write stuff that's like, yeah, maybe not talked about a lot, like not having kids. And I do that in both bands. I feel like Bumsy and Caitlin, like, yeah, I feel like both, I feel like with Caitlin Edwards, like my solo project, maybe I'll like mention more about, you know, stuff about like this, you know, the struggles of, you know, or not, so I should say like about being a woman and stuff,
sure.
You know, it's like, okay, this is me and my project. So maybe I might say like, fuck all men, you know, I might be a little bit more, sorry, not so, I don't know.
Oh, you're but good. You're good. I know the sentiment.
That's the thing. It's like, I might be a little bit more, I mean, and yeah, sometimes I've said it in Bumsy songs too, but I feel like Caitlin Edwards, maybe I'll be a little bit more raw. I'll go there a little bit more. I'll like push the envelope more, especially with some new songs I'm writing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk some more shit. You know, nobody cares about your fucking tattoos, you know?
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I like to kind of, you know, I like to kind of write about, you know, shit that, you know, maybe it's like, yeah, shit that people don't talk about or some people might find offensive. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, you know, I tattoos are great. Cool. But like, sometimes like, damn, I want to say that tattoo sucks, but I can't say it because I don't want to be mean. But in my music, I could like say whatever I want. And so like, I just, that's where I love to unleash more. I feel like Caitlin Edwards, I feel like I'm more, like I'm going to definitely say more things that's like on my mind and it might not be things that people agree with. It might be calling out, you know, shit in the punk scene that I feel is like rock star and stupid and, you know, or yeah, I'm calling out, you know, dudes that are being trash, you know, and I'll say it and it's like, but it's like, yeah, like, but then it's like, I'm friends with a lot of, you know, guys, obviously, and there's a lot of men in this scene, but it's like, I just got to speak honestly, you know, just the experience of being like a woman, especially in the music scene, like I'm going to speak more on that. I feel, and I do it a little bit in Bumsy, but I feel like my solo band, I'm going to speak more about it. Where Bumsy too, I feel with Bumsy, I'll have more like silly songs. Like I'll get some more silly songwriting there. But I don't know. I still write about serious stuff in there too. So it's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not too different.
I mean, like think about all the songs, like when you were just talking about, think about all the emo boys that wrote that, like, you know, back in the early 2000s, Taking Back Sunday and Brand New and all these bands, like, by the way, like I'm not a Brand New supporter. They just came to my mind. Like,
I know. I'm like, why are they back and people stoked?
It
I'm
is like, ridiculous. I don't understand what's going on. Like, I can't even believe that they're like touring. Like, it's insane weird to me. But like all of those like whiny bands, which I was into them. Like, and every song was about like this girl broke my heart. This girl broke my heart. Like, I think we need more of like the women's, like more of your voice, more of like what you're saying, like, hey, sometimes I'm just like, fuck all men. Like, you know what I mean? Like every dude in the emo band has said that like every, you know, in every song ever. So it's like,
or they've like, or God, how many artists have talked about, you know, being violent towards a woman. And I'm like, well, fuck this. Then I'm going to fucking write a song about how I want to fucking, you know, slam the brakes with a dude with no seatbelt on while we're in the car. And I'm going to slam the brakes. You're going to go through the windshield. That's a Bumsy song, an old Bumsy song called Over the Dashboard, you know? And it was just about like, damn, yeah, I hope you fly out this freaking car. Or, you know, there's songs I'm writing now where I'm like, you know what? There's been songs where it's like dudes didn't give a shit about saying just doing horrible things to women, so it's like fuck it, I'm gonna say some horrible shit, you know? I'm gonna let out the anger too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about. So okay, you don't think any of these are bad tattoos, do you?
Those are actually good. Those are like my drummer Chris's. I like the traditional ones, like. And those are good tattoos. And it's a thing too of like, it's more so that song too is about like people being rock star-ish and like bragging about it.
Yeah, or yeah, yeah.
Their whole personality.
Right, like, right. Ever, yeah.
You know, been a friend or dated someone who was just like, this tattoo and this. It's like, oh my God, it's okay, whatever. Not that deep. I don't know.
It is silly. Yeah.
Into it or it's. Yeah, rock star behavior. Yeah.
Or if you think you're more punk because you have more tattoos or something like that, it's just really stupid. You know what I mean? So I get them because I want them. You know what I mean? Like I think they look good, and it's just like part of my. I always wanted tattoos when I was growing up as a kid too. So.
And that's it's like, hey, you know what? You want to get tattoos? That's so cool. Like, I'm all about people being their true, authentic self. And, you know, yeah, if you like tattoos, go for it. Just, you know, yeah, don't make it your whole personality or
totally.
Like it's like I'm so deep and this is my this. Yeah.
Right. No, I just did this and I just was going to make a joke about it. Like Bumsy is like a ska punk band, and Caitlin Edwards is more of like your solo project is. I hear like a lot of like 90s pop kind of. Can you tell me a little bit about your influences for some of your solo stuff?
Yeah, it's so wild. Like when my solo thing started, I didn't know like what genre I was going to touch. I almost wanted to be like, oh, maybe I'll sound more like folky, maybe I'll just be like more rock and roll and stuff. And then it's kind of like evolved to like, okay, I'm, you know, pop punk, I'm punk, but yeah, I want to get a little bit more raw, maybe do some heavier stuff.
Okay.
I feel like you mentioned like influences, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. What are some of the, cause yeah, I definitely still hear like the punk and pop punk, but there's definitely, it's more of like that power pop, like, yeah.
90s.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like with Bumsy, like there's sometimes like I write songs that like, I don't really want horns in, or there's songs that I just don't want it to be ska. And I like, it's funny. The majority of music I listen to is not really ska. I do like a lot of ska bands, but most of the bands I listen to are like pop punk, 90s power pop, or 90s alternative bands in general. I remember somebody told me at a show that it's like, oh, Caitlin, I love your solo band. It reminds me of like a 10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack. And
oh,
I'm like,
I can see that.
That is what I'm going for. Like, I want this solo project to definitely, I'm going to have some heavier songs. I'm going to have some raw songs. But then I also like, you know, those 90s power pop type songs, or like rock and roll type songs that like I can't really do in Bumsy, you know, I like to do with my solo projects. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that is a perfect way to put it. Like the 10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack. Like
yes, I yeah. love it.
So tell me a little bit about like, you know, for me being in punk rock, like I grew up in a small town. I know, are you originally from Chicago, or you like born and raised there?
So definitely. I'm one of those suburban transplants.
Okay.
Where like I grew up in Palos Heights, and then I moved to Naperville, Illinois, and I was living there for, you know, most of my time. And then really, yeah. And then in my like mid to late 20s, I moved to another suburb, and then it really wasn't until last year that I finally moved to the city of Chicago. I'm like finally living here at 35. I'm like, dang it. It took me so long, but that's because my music therapy jobs paid better in the burbs. So,
Ah, that
but
makes
now
sense.
my music therapy job pays better in the city. And plus, I've always wanted to live in the city. So like, I'm going to move here. So yeah, it's been fun here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I love Chicago. So I know that there's always been like a little rivalry between St. Louis and Chicago, but I've always like really loved Chicago. So, so I grew up in a small town and like I found out about punk rock when I was like, probably like 13, and it really like drew me. I felt like, it really wasn't until I started going to shows, where I realized like, oh, these are my people. You know what I mean? What did you have a moment where you like, was there a certain band or show that you went to or like, you know, a music video or something that you saw and you were like, oh, this is like really what resonates with me.
Damn. I mean, yeah, I got into punk rock. I mean, well, like got into the music scene, punk rock, the same time you did, like 13, 14. I mean, when I was like 7 or 8, I remember listening to like Dookie and The Offspring and like
sure.
Iggy Pop. And that really got me into punk. But once I like was like 13, and that's when you're able to like, you're going to shows and stuff like that. And you're, meeting new people and stuff. I think it was when I saw Green Day at the Vic in 2004, and it was like,
oh,
they were
wow.
doing an American Idiot club tour. It was like before American Idiot came out, they played the whole album in 3 cities, LA, New York, and Chicago, before it came out. And they did one at the Vic in Chicago. And my dad at the time worked for Scottish in Newcastle, and he somehow like got tickets like to get in, like for all of us to get in the concert. And I'll just never forget like seeing them up close and just seeing everybody. And I was like, damn, I want to be a musician. I want to do this. I want to be in a band. I want to, this is like, I'll never. Yeah. That was I feel it was like a stomach drop. Like my face was just like, I felt like, I was about to cry. I was like, this is so amazing. Like, I want to be in this music scene. I want to play this music. I want to be a musician.
Yeah, that's so awesome. What do you feel like, you know, I mean, I always talk about like to the guys in my band that like, you know, I still enjoy doing this. I'm 42 and I quit playing. I played a lot when I was younger and then I quit for like most of my like late 20s and early mid to mid 30s. And then I started playing again and now I've been playing again for almost 10 years again. Yeah, about 10 years. So and now I can't imagine, I don't know ever why I ever quit in the first place. I just did the whole like get married, like, you know, be an adult kind of type thing. I don't have time for it.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I do it because I love it. That always has to be like the base layer of like, I still enjoy doing this. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier about like, if it was draining, I probably wouldn't do it still.
Yeah.
But you know, and now I feel like, and I would think that it's the same for you. Like I keep, you guys are doing Pooza Fest. Like I feel like you're both of our bands are like growing a little bit.
Yes.
And that always helps too, because you're like, okay, well I love doing this. And now, you know, when you first start playing, there's like, you know, you're trying to get people to come to shows. You're trying to get people to listen. And like now I've been doing this band for several years and we have an album out. It's starting to grow. And like, that is kind of what keeps pushing me. Like, would you say the same or like?
I mean, yes. Yeah. Yes and no. Like, I'm somebody where I knew like going into playing music live, like I was going to do it whether or not like people liked my music or not, whether or not I was able to get on bigger festivals or not. I just knew, I'm like, I just want to keep playing live music. Cause like, that's where I'm able to be in my happy place. I'm able to get the stress out of my body. Like that's like where I can just be free. So I knew, I was like, hey, regardless, you know, if, I mean, like one person can show up, I'll still be doing this. Even though, but it
For sure.
does help when you do start to gain traction and you do start to see returns, like you're getting on bigger festivals, you see people singing the lyrics of your songs, you're
Oh,
seeing
yeah.
those plays, people are listening to your music, people are buying your merch and stuff. And it's like, okay, yeah, it does help for sure. It gives you a little bit more of a good feeling and you feel like, okay, hey, it's, you know, this isn't just for me anymore. Like, it's actually reaching other people. And like, that's a good feeling too. Like, it does kind of motivate you a little bit more. But hey, even if I didn't have that, I think I'd still be playing music because I just love it. I just love playing live.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Me too. And yeah. and I totally agree. I think that's especially. I mean, this is like a going on our. We are taking a break from touring. Like, we don't tour like super super crazy, but like for the last 4 years, we've been going out like every other month. We've been doing a weekender or
you
like
guys are going hard.
Yeah. We've been going hard. So like, you know, we're gonna take a little bit of a break now, and we're getting ready to release like a new album. But it is also like, you know, what Chicago is a good example. Like now we're starting, or in Chicago and Kansas City and places like Nashville, like we've been like now 5 times or 6 times. Kansas City, it feels like we play there all the time. And it's like now people actually come back, and it's like the
yes.
first time that happened, even in Memphis, like, you know, we played there 3 times now, and people have been like coming. Some people are like, oh yeah, I saw you guys last time, or I saw you at this venue, or I saw you that 2 times ago. And I'm like, oh my God, like the first time somebody told me that, I almost cried. I was like, you came back?
I felt the same at Fest, because we returned, we went to Fest, we played Fest 20, and we had a great crowd and people loved us. And then we returned to Fest 22, there was people coming, man, we saw you guys last year and we made sure to like see you guys. And we were playing while a lot of other ska bands were playing. There was some competition. We're like, oh, are people going to watch us? People came out to see us and people were like, oh my God, I loved you guys so much last Fest. I wanted to see you guys again. Like, I loved you guys. And that almost made me cry. I'm like, whoa, people remember? Like, and
yeah.
People like, yeah. So I feel that.
No, it's for real. And for,
I just want to cry.
Yeah. It's for real. And for people listening, I know for sure, like, you know, that it, for people that are listening that listen to either of our bands, like it really is appreciated, like more than it, if anything, just that feeling sometimes keeps me going as I'm like, okay, we got to keep going for these people. So, all right, well, we're about out of time here. I haven't quite upgraded my Zoom to, like, I'm still mooching off the free version. Bumsy and the Moochers.
What was it? A Bumsy, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I'm still...
We're all bumming.
Well, tell... this has been awesome. And I honestly, this has been like... I know we've like talked and stuff and our bands have played together in the past. So just this has really just felt informal and like I'm just talking to a friend. So thanks for just being cool. Can you let everybody know like where can they find everything about Caitlin Edwards and Bumsy and the Moochers and what you guys have coming up on socials or the internet, everything like that?
Yes. So you can find us, obviously, on Spotify and Bandcamp. You can stream our music. We're on all streaming platforms, YouTube and stuff. We're mostly on, we're Bumsy and the Moochers is on like Instagram and Blue Sky. Same with Caitlin Edwards. My solo project on Instagram is like Caitlin Edwards Music. So you'll have to do that like Caitlin.Edwards with a Z Music. It's
okay.
Weird because there's so many Caitlin Edwards. But I'm also on Blue Sky too, my solo band. You can find us there. Facebook, we're on that, but we've started to talk about how we're going to like probably delete the band Facebooks because it's such a terrible platform for bands. I even want to delete my personal Facebook too, honestly. I'm probably going to announce that soon because, Facebook, as you know, it's so terrible. It's bad for bands. Your shit never gets seen.
No.
Ads and politics. And I'm like, get me out of here. So look us up on like Instagram, Blue Sky. And of course, listen to us on all the streaming platforms.
Yeah.
I know our merch, you can find our like link for our merch too on our Instagrams and link trees and stuff. So
awesome. And you guys, Bumsy and the Moochers is, a part of Sell the Heart Records, right?
Yes. So,
I got to meet Andy. My band played at Gilman just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah, and he came out to the show, and I was like, and I he's been on a podcast that I did like several years ago, and we've chatted on the phone a few times, and I didn't even invite him or anything, and he just showed up, and I was like, what the fuck? I was so stoked.
That's how cool. I visited San Francisco one time, and we like had a beer like outside of Gilman when it was just me and my mom vacationing. Like, he's so cool like that.
He's the best.
So cool, like,
yeah,
down to earth and just awesome. I love Andy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much. It was an honor, a privilege to talk to you and have you on this podcast. I will probably have I'll have this up tomorrow morning for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, it was an honor being on here. Thank you. And it's always fun talking with you, Wes. I hope we do this again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will. This is the start of something good. Awesome. See you later, Caitlin. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.